Live now.
Capital 263.
Hello and welcome to another special edition of Mike Said Match. My name is Lizwe Chitanganya, aka Lizwe C on Twitter. Mike Said Match is available across Twitter, Facebook, and iTunes. Download all your shows or listen to them or stream on iTunes. You can also find us on iono.fm. Just search there, Mike Said Match. There's a whole lot of different shows that we've done with special people, special guests, and even just general commentary as the Mike Said Match team. So please do review, please do share, please do listen in. We appreciate the love and the support. Joined in the studio today by Slim Sam. What up, Doc?
Hello, Lizwe. Listeners, how are you? It's Slim Sam, bringing you another special episode of Mike Said Match. We really appreciate the feedback that you've been giving us. And this show is for you guys, so keep talking to us. Follow our pages on Twitter, it's Mike Said Match. On Facebook, Mike Said Match as well. And look for our shows, iTunes, Iono FM. We always share when an episode is out. So we always appreciate when you listen and give us feedback. This is your show, so tell us what you like.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Missing today is Josh K. Zawi and the resident ghost. That is Kid Swiss. He comes in once in a while, but he's not in today.
Josh is still mad about the castle issue.
Oh yeah, we're going to sort that out one of these weekends. So of course, this show is brought to you by Capital 263. Free to say it, free to do it. Check out the whole range of different shows covering politics, entertainment, general conversation. You know, just search Capital 263 across all the different platforms. So it's free, not 3263. And that's it. So today, again, you know, as we've promised for a couple of weeks today, couple of weeks before, we are joined by rugby. And we speak rugby today. My favorite topic, Slim.
I know you love your rugby and, you know, your enthusiasm for rugby is rubbed on. I'm beginning to love rugby as well. I've been catching up on a bit of rugby, and why didn't you tell me that sport was that exciting?
You should have come to the match that played yesterday. So it's a Sunday as we're recording this. Zimbabwe played Morocco yesterday in Harare. But anyway, that's we'll get more about that since today we're joined by one of the people leading, you know, Zimbabwe rugby to the heights that it's beginning to reach right now. So we'll just ask our guest to introduce himself and we get right into it.
Thanks guys for having me. I'm Kisa Chirangende, the team manager for Zimbabwe Rugby.
Okay.
Sables, yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Kisa. We've been hoping that you join us a couple of weeks before, but now it's finally happened and we're quite excited that you've come through today.
No, I appreciate the opportunity and I'm glad we finally made it happen. It's a good setup you guys have here.
So, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Well, we're just trying to do our best to share the word out there, you know, get the sports or different sports covered.
Right.
And have more people knowing what's happening.
Yep.
So you just recently, appointed as a team manager for Zim Rugby. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How's been the transition from managing talented youngsters at Kairos and to now managing grown men in Zimbabwe rugby?
I think it's a little bit different because at Kairos Sports we're not really managing. We are managing their lives, but not to a full extent. They still have to go back to schools, where they have teachers, where they have coaches, where they have parents. Whereas with the national team, I find that the job has been extremely, extremely hard, but good hard. Mm-hmm. And revealing in terms of, you know, the amount of work that's required and the precision that I have to execute my job at. Some of the staff, obviously, I've come up short because of still inexperienced. I've never done the job before, but I'm enjoying learning it, you know, enjoying it.
Yeah, it's incredible because of late, Zimbabwe rugby has been getting the good reports. Mm. You know, everyone's happy about the work the administration is doing.
Yeah.
How much of an influence have you played, you know, to get to those good reviews about Zimbabwe rugby management?
I don't think much, to be honest. I think where the team is concerned, maybe I have played a part. But I think the current transformation or the current positive wave that's being experienced in the Zim rugby landscape is all due to the new presidium and the shuffling that's happened at Zimbabwe Rugby, led by Aaron Janning. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been really key to what we're seeing. And of course, when we then look at the Sables specifically, then you've also got to get the Sables trust into the conversation led by Gerald Mlotshwa, who have done probably stuff that we thought was not possible in the last maybe 6 months ago. But we are seeing our head coach having a top of the range vehicle, which is branded, sponsored as an example, something that you would not have thought would be associated with the Sables.
Yeah.
Getting really good preparation time for the Sables, you know, going to South Africa at HPC, going to Falcon, you know, the sort of things that's been happening for the national team. Those things would not have happened without the Sables trust and the sponsors they brought in on board, led by Zetu Resources. So I would say that in terms of the current positive wave that's happening in the Zim Rugby as a collective, is I've had very little to do with that. It's all been you know, Zimbabwe Rugby and the Sables Trust, where Sables Trust, when it then links to the Sables specifically.
All right. In terms of your role, is it more just logistics? Are you involved in team selections? What's your role like?
No, I'm not. So I mainly deal with the admin of the team itself.
Okay.
So the logistics, they're getting players where they need to be, you know, making sure the paperwork is sound and it's the right documentation that we need. I leave the selection to the coaches, Brandon Dawson and Peter de Villiers.
Yeah.
Although as many of us would like, we all have opinions on who should be there.
Yeah.
But I've learned really quickly to bite my tongue where it comes to that and allow the professionals who, by the way, have a really good body of work to refer to.
Yeah,
if you look
at
their CVs, I've never done it before.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I'm just a couch coach. Or a couch selector rather. And so I leave it to them because they've done it at the very highest level.
Okay. So interesting. There's some players from yesterday's match that we thought were going to play, but then we figured that it looks like there's an actual split between the sevens and the 15s.
Yeah.
Are sevens players going to ever play for 15s, or it's now set that, you know, the sevens guys are just working on getting to the World Cup in top condition while the 15s guys are on their own?
I think you find that the Sables has a lot of sevens players, the Cheetahs players. So the captain, Hilton, Corner, for instance, and Jabulo.
Uh-huh.
There's still a few guys that are still in the Sables setup. But I think the perfect scenario is they're trying to find a balance to how can we split resources and try to promote both programs without affecting the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a very difficult balance to find in a country that's like Zimbabwe, where it's not, the sport is not professional, number one. Two, actually it all stems from the sport not being professional. So because then it depletes your player pool, because mm-hmm. you know, the quality that's there is not enough to resource both teams. So I think it's something that both coaches are working together. By both coaches, I mean Coach Peter and Coach Giza,
mm-hmm.
working together to reach a consensus on, or to put out a blueprint that's not only for this year but going forward. I think they're looking at a long term sort of plan. And this year, because there's a World Cup that's already been qualified, the Cheetahs is important,
mm-hmm.
because they've already qualified. So And then the Sabres are trying to qualify for World Cup, and the obviously the 15s is your flagship team, so they're trying to find a balance and strike a balance there. So you'll notice that this last trip Chamala was released to go and play the Cheetahs. So I think they'll continue to talk about it. It's not something that's easy to sort of reach a decision on, but
right. You were talking about quality. Mm-hmm. You've dealt with kids playing rugby at the school level, and you've dealt with the professionals now, those who are playing for the Sabres. Yep. We once had the old Georgians coach in the studio talking about the gulf in class between schools rugby and the rugby that is required maybe at club level or at international level. Do you see that as true, and is there a way that as the Sabres you're trying to bridge the gap by giving off information to, you know, the school kids to make them at least up their game to the level that they can actually feed into the clubs and the World Cup seamlessly?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, because I think that's something that I think Peter would like to get stuck into maybe after the Gold Cup campaign. When he came on, it was already time to prepare for the Gold Cup campaign. So I don't think he's had much chance to look into doing other things. But I think after August, it's something that it was... But he's always tried to invite coaches to come in and learn from him and get the blueprint together. But I think when the focus is done on the Gold Cup, which is our last game is on the 18th of August, mm-hmm. I would like to believe, and he has a passion for it, that he'll go into the schools to try and upskill the coaches, to try and upskill the type of athlete we have in the school system, and which is very important, because then that has a knock-on effect on the type of athlete that you get into the club system and then eventually into the Sabres. So it's something that's I think I presume is built into his job role, and understandably you can't get into it right now. So I think he'll get to it, and because they, like you say, there is a gulf, there is a huge difference between the levels, and you need to be able to be prepped as an athlete to go through those levels.
Yeah, we've noticed some of the kids coming through into the national team. We saw Shingi, you know, he's integrated seamlessly into the OG's team now. He's in the Sabres team, scoring tries for Zimbabwe as well. We saw young McNabb coming in as well into the side. Is PDV, you know, looking into progressively pulling in some of the talented youngsters into the side, you know, as we try to change the team that's been there for a couple of years now, getting in the new, younger, vibrant players.
Yeah, I think that's like the players you've mentioned. I would not have imagined that someone like Matthew McNabb would be starting for the Sabres. Mm-hmm. But guess what? He was one of the best players on the park yesterday. Yeah. I mean, he tackled his heart out.
Yeah.
Then you look at Shingi, who's probably his last best game was maybe 2-3 years ago. He's been feeding on that on that reputation against Namibia in the qualifiers for the under-19s in at St. George's. That's the game that everyone talks about when they talk about Shingi.
Shingi, yeah.
And, you know, finally yesterday he came into his own and ran some beautiful lines, you know, exuded this confidence that I haven't seen him exude in the last few years.
Yeah.
And I think that that's got a lot to do with Peter in terms of how he conducts himself with players, especially the young players. I guess the motto is, you know, if you're good enough, then you're old enough. You know, it doesn't matter if you're 18, it doesn't matter if you're 19, 20. So I think with Peter, that's his main thing in terms of, you know, he likes a kid, he sees potential. He always says, you know, he's got a gift of sporting potential. And, you know, it's evident to see, because McNabb is actually a center. He's been moved to wing. He didn't know he could play a wing.
Mm-hmm.
So and he excelled there. So it just takes you to come into our camp to see the kind of vibe that's in the camp in terms of the empowerment that he gives the players.
Is that an invite?
Yeah. I mean, come through. We get back into camp next week. So, you know, feel free to come in. Let me know when you want to come in. Just have a look and see how he interacts with the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do with how they're performing, especially the youngsters yesterday. Yeah, really impressed with them yesterday. Goofy as well. He's a monster. He carries well. I mean, he breaches the gain line all the time. Very athletic in the line out. And, you know, he works so hard, you know. gets up and he tackles and, you know, he does everything that you want in a second row. So they're your boys that no one really know. I mean, no one really knew. I didn't know Goofy before this. You know, I just, like, who's this guy? You know, greeting his name. And then I saw him in South Africa, playing in South Africa. It's amazing. So he's a kid I'm really excited about. I'm along with McNabb, Shingi, Mandevenga, Mashawi, those kind of guys. So,
Oh, Mashawi played well as well. You know, he's holding his own in the middle of the park there.
Absolutely,
Very, very talented player. Cool story about Goofy. So Goofy was, we're at the same high school.
Wow.
And he was three, really, 4 years my junior.
Milton?
Yeah, Milton. Yeah. So he was 3-4 years my junior. And he was so short. Then he was shorter than me by far. By far. Like, but we always knew his dad, Takawira, a legend in Matland rugby. So he just grew from nowhere. Like, burst out. And now he's the tallest player in the field. Like, what's going on?
Probably he needs to tell me what he had. So I can get some of that height, right?
Yeah.
The vibranium in the blue air water.
Definitely something like that. Yeah. He just grew and now he's such a big, big lad.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's the older one now.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'8". I think he's close to 6'8".
Quite tall.
Yeah, and he's he was the tallest on the park yesterday.
Yeah.
Tallest in South Africa. So that's like international height there. Yeah. That's not easy to find, even in rugby strongholds like South Africa. And like locks with that kind of height are difficult to find. And very lucky to have.
No, I was speaking to his brother. Sorry about Goofy. I was speaking to his brother and he was saying PDV has taken quite an interest in his growth, his potential, because he sees quite a lot in the youngster, very tall, very muscular, and it's a rare find for Zimbabwe.
Yes.
After that, we have, what's his name, Fortune, and they were playing lock together.
Absolutely,
and, you know, that's sort of the level where we've been trying to find.
Yeah, I mean, who better to learn from, right? Fortune has been around the team for a while, and you know, it's great that he has someone like that to just learn from.
So one surprise when we got to the stadium, we were all wearing our hooped t-shirts, the Zim Rugby. Then we get there and now we have a different kit. What's the story with that? Are we keeping to that, or the hoops are going to come back? What's the story?
No, the hoops are a traditional Sables strip, so that's coming back. They're still they're still in production. So that's our alternate kit that we used on Saturday.
Okay
So the hoops are coming back, so I know people were panicking about that a little bit, but we won't discard tradition, but also we're trying something new.
New
group. But the hoops are coming back.
Are they going to be available for sale?
So there's they're making provisions for once they're done with all the strips. I think they're three strips for the national team. They're going to do replicas. Available this year. We should definitely have replicas. I know in the past fans have always been asking, hey, where can we buy jerseys, I think I'm told 80-90% that's happening this year before the end of the season.
Alright. Now getting into the big one, yesterday's result. How did the boys take it?
I think the boys were deflated. They were disappointed in that. They knew they were the better team. They knew we had a chance to snatch it at the death through LT's kick. They knew that we left a lot of points there. We weren't patient sometimes in our attack and our face play. They knew that we had the dominant scrum. You know, once you have that kind of front football in international rugby, you've got to capitalize on it. So they know what they're capable of. They know what they've been training in. I mean, what they've been practicing and training. Like I said, it only takes you to come out to our camps and see the joy on their faces when they're training, the intensity, the stuff they're learning, new stuff, like just the patterns of play. Amazing. And they knew, I guess you saw a glimpse of it in that build up to Shingi's try. The lines, the kind of move that that was executed. So those kind of playing patterns are what we used to in training, and we executed once or twice in the first half, and then it then kind of struggled to come off. So I think the players are disappointed because they know they can do better. They know they could, they know the game was theirs to take. It was ours to take. And yes, a draw is not a loss, but to us at home, I think the players really wanted a win, and you have to feel for them. But we just have to forget about what happened yesterday, and not forget about it, but use it as fuel to actually now go in and sort out what we need to sort out and get victories going forward.
Okay, so with the draw, do the team feel confident going forward with the next couple of games that are coming, looking at the fixtures, Kenya and Tunisia? Do they feel confident enough that they are going to like grab a couple of victories and we're still in a good state for qualifying to the World Cup?
I think confidence has not been a problem with this group simply because of the tools they're being handed to by the coaches, the technical staff, in terms of the game plan, in terms of trying to play a certain way. And I think the confidence is high. It's a little bit disappointing that we didn't get a win yesterday, but I don't think it will dampen their confidence. They're actually, you know, probably eager to get out and prove themselves, because they feel that maybe they let their fans down, they let their families down by not getting a win. So I think they actually can't wait to get out on the field to prove that they can do this. And so I don't think that their confidence will be shattered. It's just now a little bit more motivation to right the wrongs and get it done.
And you touch into something that I have been wondering, because when I was reading up on a little bit of rugby, you know, certain teams have got a certain identity, a style of play. And you're saying that there is a style of play that they are being taught that Peter is bringing to the team. So you're saying that now Zimbabwe have a certain identity, a certain type of play that if people see, they'll say, this is Zimbabwe and this is definitely how they come at you.
Yeah. I think if you look at most teams in our competition, certainly Morocco, Tunisia, Kenya, even the Ugandans, they're big teams, very big players who like to play a slow kind of game and slow down the ball. But we have a really quick blitz backline and a very capable forward pack that can give front football to those backs, as you saw yesterday. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're trying to play is this sort of a quick, really quick game that does not revolve around playing what our opponent is necessarily playing. So we're trying to move them around. We're trying to stay away from physical confrontations around the ruck area or around the breakdown. So that's something that we're trying to play. And I think in the first half, you saw a lot of that, you know, our halfbacks, Hilton and Peter, trying to move the ball real quick. And that's something that we're really working and playing even the percentages, which LT is really good at. So that's the identity that will continue to unfold. But I guess the key thing that we've got to understand, obviously, a game plan or a pattern or particular pattern of play is not going to, unfortunately, it's not going to take 3-4 weeks to implement.
Yeah.
Guys are going to try it out and make mistakes. But we hope that we've done enough, and I think we have done enough in the last few months to at least get us the victories that we need to qualify for the World Cup and then fine-tune it prior to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was quite a bit of criticism in terms of some of the players' decision-making yesterday. And the truth is, it's only going to get harder with the fixtures coming
up.
Morocco is probably, Morocco and Tunisia probably closest to us in terms of the rankings. But as we go forward, you know, Kenya number 28 in the world. We have Uganda is also, in fact, all the other teams are above us in the in the rankings, and it's really going to get harder. How much work is being put in terms of the players' ability to make decisions, because we are fans, as you're saying, you know, we're couch coaches. There's some questionable decisions that we've made in the field. Some people were saying, you know, that penalty in front of the poles, you should have taken a scrum since we're stronger than them in that on that side. There's the Jeep by LT, straight in the fullback's arms. Quite a huge player, the Moroccan fullback. Ran back, and next thing, it was a try against us. So how much work is being put into making better decisions? Because the last time also Zimbabwe tried to qualify for the World Cup, another bad decision cost us, you know, the flight to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And it's a nagging point that some of the decisions we're making are not really helping the team.
I think a couple of things that that personally, and this is speaking in my own capacity, that we've got to look at is, you mentioned the 2014 edition when we chose to go for the lineup. No, what did we do?
It was one of the two. I've actually forgotten. But
we went for pause instead of going for the lineup.
Yeah.
To score the try
for the bonus point. Exactly. Yeah.
So I look at that group and how many of those guys are still with us. You know. Mm. So I think as the main issue for us is the continuity of the player personnel, and because those that were there would have learnt. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. This is how we. So it's the experience bit of it, because you learn and then you learn not to do it again. So I think that's been our issue as Zimbabwe. Like, I don't ever recall since I left high school the same team playing two, three World Cup cycles.
That's true.
Because of various situations, because it's just the nature of our country or our economic climate. Players stop playing rugby because they have to work, or players are in school and they get careers and they have to focus on that. Or players are in other countries, they're playing a high level, maybe semi-pro, but still need tied up with jobs.
Yeah.
You know, so those kind of things, I think they hamper the learning process. So you ask about, you know, like yesterday we had a number of debutants.
Quite a number, yeah.
Matthew on the wing, Shingi at fullback, Brandon, who is a brilliant player, at center. We had Goofy at lock. We had quite a few players. I mean, that we're making their debuts. So, so if you factor all that in, and the previous point of the 2014 guys, so they know nothing about the 2014 experience. So they've got to learn from yesterday's game real quick.
Yeah.
And that's part of Peter and Dawson's job, to make sure that they get up to speed and don't repeat the same mistakes. Like you saw Brennan, fantastic player, broke the line a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Just the one pass wasn't, but he'll learn, he'll get better for it.
Yeah.
This is test rugby, the speed is different, the physicality is different. So, and I really back him to, I love him as a player, as a footballer, and he's one to watch. So I back him to sort of fix those things, and with the help and guidance of the coaches. So yeah, I mean, it's a rugby game, right? Players are always going to make
mistakes
and questionable decisions. We just hope they're not that many, and in crucial times and in crucial games. And we don't have that many games to be able to have the luxury to be, you know, to be like, you know, South Africa, for instance, the Springboks, or England, or whatever, they play tests. This series is important that they're playing South Africa and England, but there's no qualification ramifications on it, you know.
Yes, exactly.
There's no consequence. It's test rugby, you know. It's like you're practicing, right? We don't have that. Right now, we're in a crunch where we need to win all our games. To look at the Namibian squad, for instance.
Yeah.
They've been together. The same squad played, most of that squad played last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, played the last World Cup cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our impediment as Zim. And I feel like if we start building with these youngsters, 19, 20, 21, 22, you've got a better chance of maintaining that group
for the next World Cup cycle.
And I think that's what we've got to aim at. In the immediate, though, you hope the lighties learn real quick and absorb what they're learning and rectify that as we go.
Yeah, I guess the big fixture is 4 August in Blawayo Hartsveld Rugby Field. Namibia coming home. That's going to be a testy one.
Yeah.
And I was just hoping by then we would have gathered a couple of points with the Kenya and Tunisia matches.
Right.
All away, by the way. So only two home matches in this series. Just hoping the boys improve quickly.
Absolutely,
and start getting in the results. Is there any chance that, as you were mentioning earlier, that PDV and Gids are speaking, is there any chance that some of the Sevens players will come in for some of the other fixtures, or it's really them focusing as well on the World Cup, because that's another big one that Zimbabwe has to go and perform
next month?
Yeah.
I'm not really privy to the details of the meetings.
Okay.
But I would like to think that where there's no clashes, there's that crossover that can happen. So yeah, I think they're working towards it. I mean, after all, Zimbabwe's name was at stake. So they've got to work together to find a resolution that works for both programs, to promote the nation or to promote the rugby program as a whole in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, Namibia will be a big one. I think everyone knows in the group that they're the team to beat. They're the current champions, the Gold Cup champions. And we've got to front up. I think the draw favors us a little bit in that we play three tests before we have to meet them.
Yeah.
And that gives Peter, who, by the way, doesn't know this player as much.
Exactly.
It feels like he does now because he's been in the country since March. Mm-hmm. What is it, March? But he doesn't really. If you look at the time frame, he doesn't. But it gives him a little bit more time to get to know the players and to familiarize with their needs, even as human beings. Like you were talking about Goofy and how his brother was saying that Peter is
paying attention to his growth.
But it's not just a rugby issue. You hear Peter even last night was talking about he knows the intricate details of Goofy's life in terms of his family situation, his what he's going through, all that stuff. And that's something that's big on Peter, to get to know the player as a human being and be able to relate to him on a one-on-one, depending when you know someone's background, then you know how to deal with certain issues. So I think that's gonna come obviously with time, and that's already coming through. So I think that also then starts showing on the field. So we hope by the time Namibia come to Bulawayo, we're ready. I'm sure we will.
Yeah, one other frustration I had yesterday was, I think for about 30 minutes in the first half, I didn't watch it in the queues. My error as well for not, you know, buying ticket earlier, but you know, I was stuck in the queue.
Yeah.
Just one selling point for such a big fixture.
Yeah.
That was quite a frustration. Is there anything that's going to be done? I'm sure the Blair crowd is going to come out as well, and some might not buy tickets earlier or in advance on web tickets. What measures can be done to improve that, you know, ticketing system? Because it was quite a frustration for quite a number of minutes. We're just stuck in the queue, people celebrating in the stadium, but you can't watch nothing type thing.
Yeah, that must be frustrating. I might have to call the Zimbabwe Rugby CEO for that and find out. But I'm sure they would have, again, you know, it's having experience with doing events ourselves as Cairo Sports, in our capacity as Cairo Sports, it's never easy, because you have you know, you have things that you oversee and or things that, because maybe you're not as resourced or as stuffed as you need to, you kind of fall short in certain areas. And but we've been learning over the last 3 years how to do things a little bit different. And I'd like to think that we've been improving a little bit as the years have gone by. And it's the same thing with Zim Rugby, the admin side of it. We're the Sabres bit. That if obviously there was one selling point, that's not going to satisfy the demand. So it's something that they have to look at going to Bulawayo. And with the kind of guys that I know there, I'm sure that's something that they're already looking at, especially with the Blue Air folk, that they've already set up an organizing committee.
Okay.
That's already started working on the stadium itself, mm-hmm. on all those range of issues. So it's something that I'll bring to their attention to, and but I'm sure they'll do better.
All right. Do you expect the crowd that we got yesterday, or
in Blue? I mean, if I expect it to probably even be bigger.
Yeah.
You know, because for not wanting to offend anyone, not much is happening in Blue.
Oh yeah.
As I have not had like a lot is, you know, whereas in Harare these days, like there's always something happening on a Saturday somewhere that splits the crowd.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you bring a rugby game like that to Blue, which is the reason why they're taking to another city, I feel like, you know, the city should come out and show their ability and their commitment and their passion to host such big games so that they continue, right? So I feel like I have a good feeling that there will be a packed house even more than what we had. What was that? If you estimated what crowd was that, maybe 4,000?
Yeah, something like that.
4,000, maybe we shoot for 6 and yeah, Blue
in that range.
Yeah. So maybe we're shooting for 6,000 in Blue. So we once hosted a game there in 2016 and the crowd was good.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like they will turn up.
Okay, so talking about the crowd and the game, do you think the media is doing enough to shine light on the big games that Zimbabwe is having to get the people excited and get fans into the stadium? Because the media plays a big part. They have to highlight that the game is there and things like that. So do you feel like the media is doing justice or it's lacking?
I think they did, especially this week. There was several articles a day in the papers. So I think they're doing their bit. They can't do much more than that without having to get it paid for.
Yeah.
You know, all they can do is report on the news, and then, you know, the rest you kind of have to, it's a commercial business, you know, they have to sell papers.
Yeah.
So and they have to make money to pay people. It's a cycle. So I think the media, the journals themselves, they've been doing a good job. They keep my phone on, you know, my phone is always buzzing. They need information. Sometimes I can't even keep up.
Yeah.
They come to press conferences. I have no complaints with the journalists. So, even you guys, you know, like Lizwe has been trying to, and I forgot about his request last week, and I profusely apologized to him. I was like, you know, let's get something done. So, you know, the media can't fool the media. Media have been behind the sport.
I just wanted to say thank you because we really wanted you in the studio, and we've been nagging Liz. Yeah. If he's nagging you, it means that I've been nagging him, you know, to get you in the studio. It's exciting. Yeah. I learned a lot about rugby today. Yeah. I've been brushing, like, seriously, I've been slacking.
Yeah.
But now I'm realizing that, you know what, that's a sport to pay attention to. So thank you so much for gracing our studios, and we've really enjoyed having you around.
Thank you. I know people say soccer is the worst beautiful sport. I don't think so. it's rugby. It's rugby. And I just want to thank you guys and for having me here. I mean, I've known, I think I met Lizzo on Twitter. And it's like we've known each other for a while. Yeah, we interact there. So thanks for having me, guys. I really enjoyed it.
All right. It was fun having you. Kiss it, Zimbabwe Rugby Union. Zimbabwe Rugby
Sables
team manager. Yeah. I was about to say Zimbabwe Rugby Union manager.
So you can give us your social media handles and everything for the fans to follow you.
Okay, well, my Twitter is at Kairos Rugby. So that's KYROS Rugby.
Yeah.
My Instagram, I think, is KissItC. Okay. And that's pretty much it. And my Facebook is KissIt Sheringani.
Do you sometimes share like inside access to what's happening with the Zim Sables?
On my Instagram sometimes. Like yesterday I posted when we were going on the bus.
Okay, okay.
When we were going to the stadium, the Sables were singing and chanting. Mm-hmm. So I'll put a few of those clips on to just show you the joy that's in camp and all that stuff. So yeah, I do.
Oh, by the way, Zimbabwe Sables Twitter account is quite vibrant. I don't follow them on Facebook. I'm not really on Facebook, but the Zimbabwe Sables account is very, you know, insightful. I enjoyed the interviews towards the run-up, the Standard Brothers, the Mdariki brothers as well, you know. just different interviews with some of the players, the insights into the coaches' thinking and stuff like that. It's been well run. It's one of the better run, you know, sports like accounts, national team accounts.
Yeah.
It's quite a fun one to follow. So just follow Zimbabwe Sables on Twitter.
Right. And on Facebook. The Sables or Zimbabwe Sables on Facebook.
I'm sure there's a YouTube account as well.
Zimbabwe
Sables. Great video footage there.
Yeah.
Some top work, you know, trying to get the information out there.
Right.
Zimbabwe cricket could learn a thing or two.
Zimbabwe cricket should definitely learn a lot of things from Zimbabwe rugby.
You couldn't finish an interview without taking a shot.
Just had to punch
it.
So thanks, Kiset. It's been another episode of Mike's at Match. Let us know what you think about the episode, your comments and views. We'll just share them with Kiset as well. So that is it for today. From Lizwe, I'm out.
And it's Slim Sam. Keep on following and get in touch.
And now. Capital 263.